when we're done the video, we're going to show, we're going to take some questions. So whatever questions you have in your mind, feel free to ask. And then he's going to give a short testimony. The video pretty much says everything. But you may still have some questions when we're done here. So don't be shy. That's why we're here.
Pastor Small Church in Miami, Florida. I'm also a member of the Board of Directors for the South American Mission Ministries, or SAMS for short. SAMS is a mission board ministry of the Grace and Truth Independent Baptist Church in Amherst, New York. That's where Brother Mike Caesar is the pastor. SAMS is directed by its founder, Brother Marco Perez, Brother Mike Caesar of the Church in New York, and myself. SAMS was started in 2006. And here is the vision for SAMS in the words of its founder, Brother Marco Perez, at the moment of its conception.
SAMS is a mission board for national pastors. Mission board for national pastors.
So then, the purpose of this short documentary is to present the ministry of Brother Fabio Carvalho, national pastor in Medellin, Colombia, who is one of the national pastors supported by SAMS. Brother Fabio has been pastoring now for over 12 years, ever since the year 2002. In that time, he has raised up two independent Baptist churches and a full-time Bible Institute, which is dedicated to training men to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Colombia. How is it then that God was able to raise up a man of God in a purely Roman Catholic country? To answer that question, we must tell you a little bit about the history of Colombia. Obviously, Brother Fabio loves his native land, the beautiful and majestic Republic of Gran Colombia. Colombia was founded by the Roman Catholics in 1866. Though its storied past prior to that includes such famous Spanish names as Vasco Núñez de Balboa, Simón Bolívar, and Francisco Santander. And of course, Colombia was obviously named for Christopher Columbus, the discoverer of the New World. Colombia at one time controlled Panama, but when the United States initiated the construction of the Panama Canal Zone, it forced the newly established and still unstable Colombian Republic to concede the Panamanian territory to the United States for a mere $25 million. Most Americans know Colombia because of the years of drug running and violence which began in the 1960s, but even this was born from a famous period in Colombia known as La Violencia, or as we'd say in English, the violence. It was a time when many Roman Catholic leaders and priests were involved in shaping Colombia politically and religiously.
During this Colombian Civil War, more than 200,000 people died.
Many important Colombian institutions were blown up and destroyed, and millions of people were displaced. Here is a picture of Roman Catholic priests burning Valera 1865 Bibles in the year 1921. This period of violence is documented very well by Brother Fabio himself in a book he has written about the Roman Catholic persecution and violence towards Christians in Colombia. Gained a
firm grasp over the country of Colombia, she spun off various paramilitary groups,
including the most well-known group called FARC. The acronym FARC, F-A-R-C, stands for Armed Revolutionary Forces of Colombia in the Spanish language. The FARC is a Marxist-Leninist group of guerrilla fighters who persecute the Colombian people with bombings, assassinations, and drug running. Another group, called the 19th of April Movement, or the M19, imitated the activities of the FARC. The M19 movement was in turn connected with another group called the Medellin Cartel. The Medellin Cartel was a gang of cocaine smugglers led by the infamous Pablo Escobar. At one time, Escobar was estimated to be one of the wealthiest men in the world, worth billions of dollars. As you would expect, all of the political instability surrounding Catholics, communists, cocaine, and cartels produced a national climate of fear in the Republic of Colombia. During the decade of the 90s, all that most Americans knew of Colombia was guerrilla fighting, drug cartels, murders, and bombings. And the capital of all these satanic activities was Medellin, Colombia. But our God is able, amen. Out of Roman Catholic persecution, communist guerrilla activity, and cocaine cartels, was born on the 5th of May, 1976, a young man given the name Fabio Carvalho. Born in a crucible of violence, the young man had always wished to become a Catholic priest. But after reading the Bible, he realized that the Catholic Church was wrong about a great many things. And so in March of 1994, Fabio Carvalho trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Brother Fabio was led to Christ by Brother Rick Washburn, a missionary to Colombia for 38 years. Brother Washburn trained Fabio in the Baptist Bible Institute of Medellin. Eventually, Brother Fabio became Brother Washburn's assistant pastor. In 2005, the Lord led Brother Fabio to start the Iglesia Biblica Bautista of Copacabana, a suburb of Medellin, Colombia. Okay, this is the Bible Baptist Church of Copacabana, Medellin, Colombia. This is the church of Brother Fabio Carvalho. You can see we're getting ready to start services. Since starting the Medellin Church in 2002, Brother Fabio has continued his training as a national pastor, matriculating into the Valera Bible Institute, which is based out of our church in Miami, Florida. Brother Fabio has received from the Valera Bible Institute extensive training in the gospel ministry, sound doctrine, and in the propagation of the pure Spanish text of the Holy Scriptures, building upon the training that he had already received from Brother Washburn. Brother Fabio is now the official representative for the Valera Bible Society in Medellin, whose primary focus is the distribution of the pure Spanish scriptures, the Valera 1865 Bible, and the distribution of sound biblical literature in the Spanish language. In 2006, Brother Fabio started another church in a town 30 miles to the east of Medellin called Marinilla. This town is fiercely Roman Catholic. Out of this town, the Lord saved Cecilia Quinchia, a young girl who wanted to become a nun. She got saved and baptized. She married a medical doctor, Brother Elmer Jarava, and they are now both studying in Brother Fabio's Bible Institute. Here you can see the small congregation singing and receiving the preaching of the Word of God. Violence in Colombia are gone. Through the influence of the United States and a strong Colombian president named Álvaro Uribe, Colombia has squelched the influence of the drug cartels and the communists,
Of course, all the glory goes to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Thank God that he has opened up Columbia for the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, the once persecuted church is open and visible in many areas of Colombia. Our churches in Colombia openly preach the streets of Medellin, Armenia, Montenegro, Bogota, Cali, and even as far away as the Amazon basin. This is probably one of the most fundamental aspects of the ministry in Colombia and all over Latin America. Here are some clips of Brother Fabio's public ministry.
Okay, here we are in the city of Copacabana. Copacabana is a small suburb of Medellin, Colombia. You can see this is the central plaza. All of Latin America is laid out the same. You have a town, and right in the center of the town is a plaza. And right on the plaza is, of course, the Catholic Church. And right now we're getting ready to street preach down here.
We believe fiercely in the need to preach the gospel directly to the people, as did the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his apostles. The Bible says in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Jesus said in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Besides the two churches in Copacabana and Marinilla and the street preaching ministry, Brother Fabio has other vital ministries for which he is responsible. First of which is the Valera Bible Institute of Medellin. Brother Fabio is actively involved in giving to the men and women of his churches the pure word of God and training them to preach and teach it. The Valera Bible Institute International is not just any fly-by-night operation. We have developed a curriculum to train men that will bring them to a level of Bible proficiency unmatched in Latin America. Brother Fabio is certainly qualified to take his place as one of the professors. Besides the master's degree from the Valera Bible Institute and another master's degree from the University of Medellin, Brother Fabio is a published author and translator. As you already know, Brother Fabio's primary church is in Copacabana, Medellin, Colombia. Since their initial start in 2002, they have been renting the same building, but now they must relocate. It is Brother Fabio's vision to purchase a church property rather than continue renting. The pastors and missionaries who stand behind Brother Fabio here in the United States agree with him. We are extremely impressed by Brother Fabio's leadership and initiative. He has led his church in Copacabana over the past few years to raise up over $5,300. Rather than depend on the gringo, they are depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that money only represents 10% of what is needed. We believe that the Lord would have our churches here in the U.S. help Brother Fabio in whatever way possible. Through Brother Marco Perez and his SAMS organization, we have initiated a project to raise up the necessary funds to help Brother Fabio build his building. Dear pastor and church family, we have presented to you here Brother Fabio Carvalho in the hopes that perhaps you as well will see the need and participate in this project of purchasing a property for the Medellin Church.
Brother Fabio was no slouch. He resisted coming to the United States so as not to be perceived as just another national pastor with his hand out. He and his people have started the project on their own. It was Brother Marco Perez and myself that suggested to Brother Fabio that he come to the United States. We pray that while he is here, he might be as big a blessing to you all as he has been to us. May the Lord richly bless you and your congregation for your prayers and support. Amen.
Trabajo en Cristo, es lo que quiero, y ganar almas para el Señor. La característica de un hombre nuevo es el pescador de hombres para Dios. Alguien tiene que llevarles el mensaje, y si alguien tiene que hacerlo, ese soy yo. Yo ya no quiero perder más tiempo de obras muertas, cansado estoy. Trabajo en Cristo, es lo que quiero, y ganar almas para el Señor. Yo ya no quiero perder más tiempo de obras muertas, cansado estoy. Trabajo en Cristo, es lo que quiero, y a mi Colombia para el Señor. No me quedaré pensando en soluciones, envíame, estoy listo, mi Señor.
There's a couple prospective properties.
¿Y quiere saber si tiene ya una propiedad escogida o alguna propiedad que está pensando? La casa. Y el parqueo.
So there's a house that possibly they could buy and convert it into a church, and him and his family could live in the house. There's also a parking garage that's available that they can convert that into a church. I'm sorry? Yes, much larger. And there's also pictures of the properties that are prospective properties to buy on that back display. Yes, sir.
Hermano Marco Pérez había venido anteriormente a esta iglesia y ellos fueron impactados por la sinceridad del hermano. Entonces, ¿quiere saber este hermano cuánto dinero necesita para llevar a cabo el proyecto?
Para llevar a cabo el proyecto se necesitan por lo menos 100 millones de pesos o $50,000, como están en el video, por lo menos.
So he believes that he could do the entire thing, you know, get the church into a new building for about $50,000. Amen. Somebody else? Yes, sir. And well, the principal city is Medellin, which most Americans know for the drug running and stuff like that. He's actually in a suburb called Copacabana, which most Americans know as a song by Barry Manilow in the 1970s. But it's also a city in Colombia. I'm sorry? Well, yeah, it's in the interior of Colombia. Interestingly, Colombia is surrounded on three sides by water. It's got the Gulf of Mexico, which is basically the Atlantic Ocean, to the north, east, and then it's got the Pacific Ocean to the northwest, and then it's got the Amazon River to the south. So Colombia is very strategic in that regard, or at least it was. Now everybody flies by airplane, but I think when Colombia was founded, because Colombia only has a little piece of the Amazon River right between Brazil and Peru, and I think somebody was smart and they said, we need to have a piece of the Amazon River. So probably Santander. The founder of the Colombian Republic, his name was Santander. So let me see, what time is it? 10:35? So we can take more questions and then he'll say something. So any more questions? ¿Qué quiere decir? ¿Qué versículo quiere compartir con ellos?
Testimonio, hasta qué hora.
Sí, testimonio, tenemos mucho tiempo, 15 minutos. What's that? Yeah.
Bueno, entonces, yo creo que quiero decir algo de este mensaje, 15 minutos.
Sí. Hay tiempo.
Salmo 22.
If you please turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 22. Póngase aquí. I'm going to read the English text, Psalm 22, verses 1 through 6. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people.
Bueno, lo que quiero decirles esta mañana es mi razón principal para predicar la palabra de Dios.
So what I'm going to give you this morning is the reason why I preach the Word of God.
En este salmo encontramos muchas cosas y muchas palabras que dijo el Señor Jesucristo.
And so here in this psalm we have a prophecy, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself on the cross.
Desde el primer versículo que dice, Dios mío, ¿por qué me has dejado?
From verse 1 where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Son palabras que están escritas en Mateo capítulo 27.
And if you were to look in Matthew 27, you would find these words quoted by Christ on the cross.
En el versículo 7 y el versículo 8.
And in verse 7 and 8, there's also, I'll read that, all they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.
Es una referencia a Mateo capítulo 27.
This is a reference to, again, Matthew chapter 27.
Versículo 39 y 40.
In verses 39 and 40.
Que dice que pasaban...
Sí.
39 dice que pasaban... Y los que pasaban le decían injurias, meneando su cabeza y diciendo, tú que derribas el templo y en tres días lo reedificas, sálvate a ti mismo si eres el Hijo de Dios.
Matthew 27, 39 and 40, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in three days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.
El versículo 15 del Salmo 22.
And so going back to Psalm 22, verse 15.
Que se secó y que su lengua se pegó a su paladar.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth.
Y eso nos recuerda que él dijo en la cruz que tenía sed.
And so that's what he said when he was thirsty on the cross.
No, tenía deseo de tomar algo.
And so he was desiring to take some water. He wanted water.
El versículo 18 dice que jugaron con su ropa.
And verse 18 says that they gambled for his garments.
Y eso también lo dice la Biblia en Mateo capítulo 27.
And again, that's exactly what the Bible says in Matthew 27.
Dice que echaron suerte sobre su ropa.
That they gambled for his, they cast lots for his garments.
Y los demás pasajes del Salmo 22, los demás versos.
And you keep on reading through chapter 22.
Encontramos acontecimientos de la vida de nuestro Salvador.
You find a whole bunch of things that happened to our Savior during his lifetime.
Casi todo el Salmo podemos ver al Señor Jesucristo.
So, obviously, the entire Psalm is basically about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Los versos... El verso 17 dice, contaría todos mis huesos.
And in verse 17 it says, I may tell all my bones.
Y eso puede decir la forma tan... que quedó allá en la cruz como un esqueleto.
And so he was ripped apart. Basically on the cross, he was, you could see his bones.
Podía tocarse los huesos, así, cuando estaba allí en la cruz.
He was so torn up that you could see his bones.
Podía sentirse sus huesos en la cruz.
And you could feel them.
Eso está en Isaías capítulo 52, que dice que quedó sin apariencia para que nadie lo deseara.
And so Isaiah says the same thing, that his visage was so marred more than any man.
Pero el único nombre que se da en el Salmo, o el nombre que se da en el Salmo 22.
But the only name for Christ that you find in Psalm chapter 22.
Es que es un gusano.
Is that he calls himself a worm.
Él dijo, soy un gusano y no soy un hombre.
He says, I'm a worm and no man.
Y eso está hablando nuestro Señor.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Y en la Biblia yo encontré otras referencias al gusano.
And so in the Bible, I have found other references to this worm.
Éxodo, capítulo 16.
Please look at Exodus 16.
Verso 20.
And look at verse 20, Exodus 16, 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them.
Ahí está hablando del maná, del pan que descendió del cielo.
And so this is the manna that came down from heaven.
Lo tenían que comer todos los días.
They had to eat it every day.
Porque si no, criaba gusano.
Because if they didn't eat it every day, it would breed worms.
Sabemos que debemos de comer todos los días la palabra de Dios.
So we should eat of the bread every day.
Cada día hay un mensaje para nosotros.
There's always, every day God has a message for you.
El mensaje de hoy no es el mensaje de mañana.
And it's a different message every day.
Cuando el Señor ahora, el Señor Jesús ahora, es el pan de vida.
And so Jesus said in John 6, he's the bread of life.
Pero cuando estaba aquí en la tierra,
when he was here on earth,
tenía un cuerpo humano,
he had a human body,
tenía humanidad,
he was a human being,
estuvo en la cruz,
and he, when he was on the cross,
desfigurado,
he was disfigured,
herido,
he was wounded,
y dijo, soy un gusano.
And he said, I'm a worm.
No es justo.
It's not right.
No es justo lo que le pasó.
It's not right what happened to him there on the cross.
La otra referencia a gusano está en Isaías 66.
There's another reference to the word worm in Isaiah chapter 66.
Verso
Verse 23 and 24. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
Dice que el gusano nunca morirá.
And the Bible says that this worm is never going to die.
Y eso nos recuerda a Marcos, el Evangelio de Marcos.
And this is quoted in Mark chapter 9,
cuando está hablando del infierno.
When it talks about hell.
El gusano no morirá.
That the worm shall not die.
Yo no entiendo muy bien este pasaje.
And I don't understand perfectly what's going on here.
Un pasaje complicado.
It's there's a lot of things going on here.
Isaías 66.
In Isaiah chapter 66.
Pero refiere a un gusano que nunca morirá.
But it's talking about a worm that shall never die.
Entonces, esas dos referencias yo encontré con gusano.
These are a couple of the references that I found with the word worm in it.
Y otra en Isaías que habla de un hombre bajo, acabado.
And there's another reference in Isaiah about a short man.
Entonces, y el Señor Jesús dijo, yo soy un gusano.
And so the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am a...
Estaba en la cruz del Calvario.
I'm a worm when he was hanging on the cross.
Ahí sufriendo por el mundo.
And he was suffering for the world.
Ahí contando sus huesos.
And he was counting his bones, looking at his bones.
No podía respirar muy bien.
And I'm sure hanging there, he wasn't able to breathe very well. And people were shaking their heads as they saw him there hanging on the cross. And they were wondering about it. They marveled at what this man was going through. And they said, come down from there. And they said, if he's God, let him come down. But he was there and he suffered. He continued suffering. And when I'm sick, and you know what happens, you get feverish and you get your head swells. And I see the people there mocking him.
Yo pienso en nuestro Señor allí.
I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ there,
sufriendo mucho más que lo que yo he sufrido.
Suffering more than any of us could ever imagine.
Y viendo a esta gente medio viendo.
And he's looking down at these people that are mocking him and watching him.
Yo soy un gusano.
And he says, I'm a worm.
Yo soy un gusano. Eso recuerda que Dios mismo bajó al mundo y se hizo un hombre para morir por los hombres.
And so what we know is that God himself came down to this world in flesh and died for us.
¿Habrá una razón mayor para predicar el evangelio?
And what better reason would there be than to preach the gospel for that reason?
Creo que no.
I don't think that there's any better reason.
Yo creo que no vale la pena nada más.
I think that there's only one reason, one perfect reason to preach the gospel.
No importan los sufrimientos, no importan las dificultades.
All the difficulties and suffering that the people go through in the world, that's fine.
Yo creo que esa es la mayor razón.
But the biggest reason is because Christ suffered.
Lucas capítulo 23.
Please look at Luke chapter 23. Verso 23:26, and I'm going to read down to verse 31. And as they laid him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry?
El Señor está allí sufriendo, llevando la cruz.
There's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's suffering. He's carrying the cross.
Las mujeres están llorando por él.
And the women are crying for him, weeping.
Como yo lloro cuando recuerdo eso.
And I myself, I am brought to tears when I think about these things. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself, watching these women suffering, carrying a cross, but watching these women cry,
mujeres, no lloren por mí.
He says, women, don't cry for me.
No lloren por mí.
Don't cry for me.
Lloren por sus hijos.
You should be crying for your children.
Lloren por su familia.
You should be crying for your families.
Lloren por sus amigos.
You should be crying for your friends.
Lloren por sus vecinos.
You should be crying for your neighbors.
Que si al árbol, si al árbol verde.
Because if a green tree, they do this to the green tree.
Que era él el árbol verde.
He is the green tree.
Le hacen esto.
If they do this to a green tree,
que no se va a hacer en los secos.
What are they going to do to a dry tree?
Los secos es el mundo que le hizo eso.
And the world is the dry tree, the people in the world.
Entonces, la razón para llevar el mensaje es el Señor Jesús.
And so the reason to bring the message, to preach the gospel, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Así lo veo yo como una de esas mujeres.
And I see him as one of these women.
Pero el Señor me mira a mí.
But the Lord, he looks upon me.
Y me dice, Fabio.
And he says to me, Fabio,
no llores por mí.
Don't cry for me.
Llora por la gente.
You should cry for the people.
Porque imagínate qué le voy a hacer a él.
Because imagine what I'm going to do to them.
Sofonías, capítulo 1.
Please look at Zephaniah, chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk.
Sofonías.
Zephaniah. Haggai.
Capítulo 1, versículo 15 al 17.
Zephaniah 1, verse
15 al 17.
I'm going to read from verse 15 to 17. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung.
La sangre será derramada como polvo.
And so the blood shall be spilled, poured out like dust.
La carne como estiércol.
And the flesh as the dung.
Hay que tener misericordia de este mundo.
We need to have mercy upon this world.
Hay que llorar por este mundo.
We need to cry, weep for this world.
En 1994, yo fui salvo leyendo la Biblia.
1994, I got saved reading the book.
Yo escuché a un hombre predicando en la calle.
I had heard a man preaching on the street.
Y después fui a mirar en mi Biblia.
And so that prompted me to go look at a Bible.
Yo quería ser un cura católico.
I wanted to be a Catholic priest.
Quería defender una iglesia.
I wanted to defend a church.
Quería defender una religión.
I wanted to defend a religion.
Pero estaba equivocado.
But I was wrong.
Que había que leer la Biblia.
And I went and read the Bible.
Porque el Señor no murió por una iglesia ni por una religión.
Because the Lord did not die for a religion nor for a church.
Murió por el mundo.
He died for the world.
Por los hombres.
He died for men.
Y ese es mi llamado.
That's my calling.
A seguir predicando.
To keep preaching.
Les agradezco a ustedes que me acompañan y que me permiten estar acá.
And so I thank you all for the opportunity to be here this morning.
Dios les bendiga mucho.
May God richly bless you. I think that's pretty much it. Anybody got one last question? Okay, if not, I'll turn it over to Brother Richardson, I suppose.